Gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Hindustan Oil Exploration Company Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Hindustan Oil Exploration Company Limited, HOEC. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the company's third quarter and 9 months ended of financial year 2024. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We firstly have with us Mr. R. Jeevanandam, Managing Director, Mr. N. Sivalai Senthilnathan, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Krishnan Raghavan, Chief Technical Officer. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Jeeva to start with his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Good morning to everyone. Hope everyone has received the updated earnings presentations. It is on our website for your reference. I have with me Mr. Krishnan Raghavan, Chief Technical Officer, heading the operations and subsurface team, and Mr. Senthilnathan, our CFO. We have been inducting senior production engineers, senior drilling managers, senior reservoir engineers, and technical advisors to increase the operating and managerial capability of the company. We are pleased to inform you that quarter two gas uptake from Duroc has maintained an average of 23.75 million standard cubic feet per day against 22.9 million standard cubic feet per day in the previous quarter. I'll start with the operational update from the eastern region. Duroc gas sales for our share is 0.59 BCF and condensate is about 10,841 barrels, compared to 0.56 BCF of gas and 10,350 barrels of condensate in the previous quarter. Though this field can produce about 50 million standard cubic feet per day, we must restrict the production due to lack of demand. This is further compounded by dual pricing of gas produced from the nominated fields of oil and private players. The ceiling price fixed by the Government of India for nominated field is 6.5 MMBTU. Whereas for private producers and for non-nominated fields, the price fixed by the TPAC is 8.93 per MMBTU as of October to December 2023. Therefore, the customers who are mostly public sector undertakings would like to avail the low price gas of 6.5 per MMBTU before availing the gas from private players at a higher price. This makes the Duroc production as a fallback after the sale of production from major producers such as oil and ONGC. This situation would get reversed once the gas line of IGGL, GAIL and DNPL are connected and commissioned. We believe that once IGGL line lays its own line from Duliajan to Numaligarh, which is about 170 to 80 kilometers, the demand constraint would further be eased out and the connectivity with the gas grid in central India will be fully established. This will ensure that an increased and stabilized uptake from 2025 onwards to achieve the production to the full potential of the field. To prepare ourselves, three legacy wells, Duroc 1, 2 and 4 will be worked over and the additional data would be used to revise the reserve estimates of Duroc. Reprocess seismic data is under review and the material balance is worked out. INEOS GNG study will be get validated by third-party reserve auditors and the new reserve numbers will be updated as soon as the study is completed. After these workovers, we plan for drilling two additional producers to ramp up the production to 70 million standard cubic feet per day, subject to demand, which will meet the increase in demand by connecting the Diliajun hub to national gas grid. Jio and Pro is the operator to Karsang block, and HOEC will have both directly and indirectly 35% participating interest in the block. After the review of the production data, continuous workover is planned for producing wells to maintain as well as increase the production. Operating committee has considered for drilling 15 wells to increase the production from Upper Gurijan sand. One exploration well is planned to know the potential of the deeper formations such as Lower Gurijan, Kippam and Barel. This block is producing from Upper Gurijan formation for over 40 years. Tangible records for such as wells, exmoss tree and tubeless were already procured. On obtaining EC clearance, we should be drilling development wells by first quarter of 24-25. Substantial upside has been identified and evaluated by GCA, both in the Lower Gurijan, Tippam and Barel formation. This block would unlock substantial value after the completion of the proposed exploratory well. With the connectivity to national grid, additional resources on discovery can be developed and monetized quickly. We have work program lined up for drilling 15 development wells and one exploration wells in Karsang. We also plan for two development wells in Diras 25-26. The expected capital outlay for the next two financial years is about 200 crores in this region. KMP blocks. In KMP, all the three blocks are having marginal production and total contract area is about 38 square kilometers. Well data is under evaluation to know the potential of all three blocks to enhance production. Currently, these fields are breaking even with a meager contribution to the P&L account. In Palich, plan to have artificial lips in all three wells. We are planning for two development wells in Assur and two in North Balur to increase the production as soon as we get the environmental clearance. Environmental clearance is expected before March 2024. Now I move to offshore blocks. We are pleased to inform you that BIT crude was sold at a price of $80.27 per barrel. First offloading of 430,000 barrels of oil was sold to IOC and the offloading was completed on 30th of January 2024. Price realized the average Brent price for the month of offtake less 0.06%. It means we are getting the Brent price. While continuing production from D2 well, we are constrained to inform that D1 is yet to be activated to put on production. We have removed the possible mechanical obstructions in D1 flow line as well as the tubing, and now it is more of blockage in the reservoir. We have given a contract to Baker Hughes to carry out the chemical treatment to remove the blockage. It is expected that the Baker will mobilize the equipment and personnel to offshore on or before 4th week of February 24. D2 well production is little over 800 barrels per day and the gas is about 3.5 MMSCF per day. PY1 offset. Existing facilities can process up to 55 million cubic feet per day. Currently, the field is producing less than 1 million cubic feet to break even. Seismic data of this block was reprocessed and our in-house GNT team was evaluated and released to three drilling locations. These in-house studies will be reviewed by a third-party expert in London to confirm the proposed well locations. We plan for three development wells and everything goes as per plan. Drilling first well will commence in June 2025. Consequent to the issue of D1 well and continued low uptake, we are not able to ramp up the production to the expected level. We have lined up the capital program for about 1,000 crores in the next 3 years to drill substantial number of development and exploratory wells to enhance the production as well as to increase the reserve potential of the company. Now I request Mr. Senthil, our CFO, to update the financial results of this quarter.
Thanks, Mr. Jeeva. Good morning to all. We report that the standalone revenue for this quarter is Rs. 109.04 crores compared to Rs. 72.56 crores in the previous quarter. Revenue from offshore BIT block is Rs. 48.43 crores and the previous quarter it was Rs. 19.03 crores. In case of Diras, revenue in this quarter is Rs. 56.7 crores compared to Rs. 48.68 crores in the previous quarter. The total increase of Rs. 36.48 crores in sales is mainly due to increase in production in BIT field. Field operating expenses for this quarter in the standalone account is Rs. 76.23 crores compared to rupees 50.46 crores in the previous quarter. This increase is mainly due to increase in operating days of VAT field. Total expenses including depreciation, depletion and stock adjustment is rupees 101.84 crores compared to rupees 32.09 crores in the previous quarter. The increase is mainly due to increase in operating days of VAT field. Oil in stock in FSO as on 30th September was 3,29,000 barrels and increased to 4,25,000 barrels as on 31st December 23, out of which 60% belongs to HOEC. Stock adjustment and credit for the current quarter is rupees 3.4 crores, whereas it was rupees 43.52 crores in the previous quarter. This difference is mainly because of the price of crude oil, which was $93.54 per barrel as on 30th September, and it is $77.42 per barrel on 31st December. We liquidated this inventory on January 24 at $80.27 per barrel. Standalone EBITDA is rupees 16.74 crores compared to rupees 49.05 crores, and the profit after tax is rupees 4.82 crores compared to rupees 38.74 crores in the previous quarter. The reduction in profit after tax is mainly due to decrease in crude price of the inventory as stated earlier. In consolidated account, the total revenue for this quarter is rupees 192.75 crores compared to rupees 119.74 crores in the previous quarter. This was due to increase in operational days of FSO and MOPO amounting to about rupees 35.55 crores and VAT production. Operating expenses including facilities in the consolidated account for this quarter is rupees 89.93 crores compared to rupees 63.63 crores in the previous quarter. This increase in cost is due to increase in field operating costs in VAT field as days increased from 48 days to 92 days. Total expenses including depreciation, depletion and amortization and stock adjustment in consol account for this quarter is 137.2 crores compared to rupees 69.4 crores in the previous quarter. Consolidated profit after tax is rupees 46.57 crores against rupees 43.17 crores in the previous quarter. EBITDA for the current quarter in the consolidated account is rupees 80.14 crores compared to rupees 72.58 crores in the previous quarter. As of now, the outstanding loans in the standalone books are rupees 87.55 crores and in the subsidiary books rupees 69 crores. Company has A stable rating for rupees 500 crores bank loan from India Ratings. With this current cash position and with the continued, we will meet all our obligations including the proposed work program for the coming 3 years as planned. Thanks, and back to Sujiva.
Thanks, Indil. Now we can open the forum for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jigesh Gandhi from Discovery Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. And congratulations on the quarter. Just had a question, how much is the MTM losses you would have on oil given that the prices had come down slightly from the end of Q2?
You are asking about what is the price?
No, the MTM losses that we had, the mark losses we would have booked this quarter on the oil because of
the market impact is 26 crores.
It's about 26 crores. So, assuming the prices stay flat-ish at this around 18 dollars or whatever it may be, so then at the existing production rate, we should actually assume our run rate of effectively PBT is at 50 crores plus the 26 crores, right? I mean, that's the way in which we should be looking at it.
And that's right, because the standalone, the impact of 26 crores were there.
Okay, I'm sure.
And that's about 5 crores would get redden in the next quarter. So we would be in the same range if everything goes as planned.
Got it. Understood. Yeah, and the other question was if you could just throw some light on, because Baker, who we have appointed, are they a credible international agency with regards to this particular thing? And is there anything you can ever ask with regards to any expectations around how long the test process will take up mobilization and any risks involved, or you know, are they reasonably certain that they can sort of resolve this?
The fact remains, Baker Hughes is one of the best internationally reputed oil and gas company. There are only few companies, Schlumberger, Halliburton, and Baker Hughes. We have picked one of the best companies. Now, they've studied and they've given a report to us. Based on the report, now they are mobilizing the chemicals and the equipment to do the operations at the offshore. Now, the issue is, if they have to mobilize all these equipments in place to Mumbai port, then it has to be taken to the offshore. Once it is in offshore, the job should not take more than about a week's time. So, in all probabilities, we are expecting they should mobilize all the equipments and everything before the end of this month, and the operations should start by the first week of March.
Got it. Sir, the other question was that the price we have been able to get for the oil is an extremely small discount to Brent. So is that the price we should expect going ahead as well? And is that effectively a reflection on the quality of the oil, or is it some other factors that has, you know, led to such a small discount on Brent with regards to oil sale price?
Yes, we got the Brent price. The discount is only 0.06%.
Yeah. No, I think the expectations that we had was that the discount might have been slightly higher. So just wanted to understand, you know, the reasons, and if it's going ahead also, we would expect to get around with the Brent price only.
That's right. Our quality of the crude is good enough that we should be getting a Brent. And the minus will be very, very limited. It should be 0.06%.
Got it, sir. And the last question was with regards to the connectivity of the DIROC with the national grid. GAIL, et cetera, on track with regards to the pipeline, and any expectations around timeline, or is there any delay expected on that?
See, we are not directly involved with this, but we have been on a continuous discussion with the persons involved. In that, we are expecting by October, the DNPL line will get upgraded. So that will improve some demand. Then we are expecting that by March, that's what the time, it may be plus minus, that the GAIL connectivity will be with IGGL. And then we will be able to make from Guwahati to Numaligarh, Numaligarh to Diliajan. So there is expected some demand increase will happen by that process. That in Indradhanush, they are laying their own new line from NRL to Diliajan. That is expected to be completed by March 26. So that means the full connectivity to the national grid would get established. By year should be 26-27, there should not be any demand constraint to us because all our gas can go to the national grid.
Got it. All right, so thank you so much. It's been extremely helpful.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rikesh Parekh from Rockstud Capital LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, and congratulations on the first crude offtake from BAT. Sir, just to start off with BAT, can you just explain what is the real problem now right now? Means what we have written is that the flushing of the chemical and hot thing has been done, but there is topside issues, means there is some further work which need to be done. So what is the real problem at block B, well D1?
You are aware that the D1 was well was producing, After the cyclone, we shut the well. During the cyclone, we have been asked to shut down, so we shut the well. After shutting down the well, when we open it, it was not producing. So we thought there is initially a mechanical obstructions. So these mechanical obstructions, one by one, we have cleaned it up to the extent the D1 flow line was cleaned up now. And the tubing also cleaned up. Now the backup study is completed. We are expecting there is some reservoir blockage. This reservoir blockage is because of the various issue which has happened now, that has to be addressed by the chemical treatment. Now, once the backer comes and do the operations, we'll get to know the results.
So, this reserve blockage is general, or there is a major concern as such, because after the chemical, there can be some concern, because previously we had a concern around the pressure and all those things. So, just slightly more detail if you can provide on that.
At the moment we know there is a blockage in the reservoir, because this has to be addressed by a chemical treatment. Once we get back to the production from this well by the chemical treatment, then we will get to know how at what interval we have to pump the chemicals, and we will be knowing the full impact after the backer completed the operations. It is too premature to say anything at this stage.
And what will be the one-time cost for this overall for the getting it back to the operation?
It's about $300,000.
Okay. Second question on the DROF. We have completed the forest part of the laying. So I wanted to understand by when we will be able to connect it to the hub as such, bring it to Duliajan.
Forest section has been completed. 50% is over. The balance we have to get into the next season. It should be around 2000. It should be expected to be completed by some other side. Will be get completed by December 2025. But that is not a major constraint. If the DNPL line is connected, we have got a tie-in line with the Kathalkudi. So that will ramp up. That will meet our ramp up the production up to 1 million plus.
So, will it be safe to assume that from 3Q we might be able to increase from our 29 million to 50 to bring it to 50 production if DNPL pipeline is ready by October?
Oh, if the DNPL is there, if they are allowing us, we can go up to 1.2 million. That should be around, say, 40 plus.
Okay. That's helpful. And the last question on the PY1, so now we have got the initial study and we are expecting to start drilling from April to June. So have we closed on the any well or the rig as such, or have we procured the rig?
No, not yet. Because what is happening is we have to go for our team has done a good work and they are very confident about it, and they're drilling 3 wells. And they've identified the location also. But we wanted to be abundantly cautious. We are taking third-party expert from fractured basement from London. And they will be coming here for studying about 15 days. Then the collaborative study of our team as well as the experts will be presented to another third-party reserve guys in London, RPS Energy. And once they are confirming all the facts and everything, data and everything totally being reviewed, we will be releasing the, revising or maintaining the same locations as the case may be. And after that, we will mobilize the drilling rig.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So, firstly, regarding the CapEx that you mentioned for the next 3 years, around 1,000 crores, if you could list down what CapEx are we doing and what amount is going to be spent for which well, and also what is our internal revenue target or a kind of aspirational number from the same and expected IRR in next 3 to 4 years?
The wells we are planning for the next year, including total, is about drilling of 15 wells, out of which one would be an exploration well. And the interventions we are planning for about six well interventions. And the expected outlay is about 160 crores on the next financial year. And 25-26, we will be embarking on the program for the PY1 drilling. And the rock also, we will be drilling two more wells. And two more deep wells also we are planning on the success of the first well. That is about 540 crores we plan for it. And 26-27, B80 we have, as planned, we have to drill three development wells and connect it. That is about 300 crores. This is our plan outlay for 1,000 crores. And IRR as such, we will not be doing any project less than 21% post-tax.
Okay, and if you could also share any internal revenue target that you have?
So these are the, based on our cash flow projections, we will be meeting within our internal approval only.
No, like I wasn't asking about funding. I was asking about any internal revenue target or any aspirational number that you have in your mind from the said CapEx.
So we have our existing producing field. Dirac is there and then BIT is there. And with the three workovers of Dirac and three workover of Palij and immediate drilling of the North Balol and Azul, we will be able to meet the capital expenditure as such of 160 crores next year very comfortably without any issue. And 25-26, if D1 comes, and we will be comfortable to meet the 540 crores. And these are staggered expenditures. It is a success-driven success. Basically, the first well will be only about $10 million. And that drives the rest of the things. There should not be any problem of us. The problem of getting 1,000 crores over a period of 3 years.
And what is our expected revenue and operating cash flow for next 2 years, FY25 and FY26, if you could share, please?
Well, that's what the number I told you. No, I can't give you the exact number as such. And our internal approval, we do our cash flow. Based on the cash flow, we are comfortable with this.
Also, sir, regarding the BAT, the oil, what oil production do we see for FY25, and what kind of optimum level of production can we do there, and by when do we look to achieve that?
So this would be known to us after the backer completed their operations in the field. So we are waiting for the backer report.
Okay. I'll get back in. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Laser Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. If you can share, earlier we used to do around 11 to 14 gas production from B2. Now that has come down to, I think, 5.7. And I think the oil production has gone up. So is there a problem in the D2 well wherein the gas production has come down and the oil production has gone up, and is it going to sustain going forward?
See, this is an expected in the D2 well. The gas production will come down, oil production will go up. It is behaving as predicted.
Okay, so this is going to now stay the way it is, or this is again going to change?
We can't say it is a subsurface issue. But we expect that will maintain at this level.
Okay, and from the D1, earlier I think we were targeting around 3,000 barrels of oil approximately. Now that we've kept on reducing, and now it's around 400, 500, now right now it's not there. But you're saying expectation is only around 800 or 1,000 barrels after it opens up, or there is no clue on that?
You asked a question about the D2 well, right, which I answered as such 800 plus 3.5 million, right? We have not discussed about the D1 well. D1 well results will be known after the backup treatment is completed, backup operation is completed.
After backup operation is completed. Okay, and can we have an update once the process by Baker is done on the stock exchanges? Is it possible?
It's a continuing process, you know. If the backer will come out and they do some operations, they find something more to be done, we will engage them continuously to do that till the well is fully activated. It is not a one-stop.
That process I'm understanding. Once the backer says, okay, fine, I'm done with everything, whatever was there. Now, this is the result that is there. After that, can we update? Basically, what I want to say, I don't want to update the next results. Wherein then I understand, okay, what is the problem with the D1? As a shareholder, being a co-owner of the company, basically I want to stay updated on the, because I think it is a material event for me, because how the D1 production comes, accordingly the results will also get expected. So that is my concern. So that is what I'm trying to ask you.
Tejas, we would like to tell you one thing. You are our co-shareholder, co-partner in the business. We fully appreciate that. You have to understand this is an oil and gas field operations, right? So it is not an end, it is a subsurface. Once the well is continuously flowing to our satisfaction, yes, we will be able to maintain it, then we will certainly inform to you. We cannot come to you and say that sporadically it is producing today, and within a day we cannot say again it is closed. We can't do that. So we establish ourselves a continuous flow of the D1 well, and then we will certainly inform to you. Inform to the exchange, you will get to know it. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Aman Chaudhary from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So, two quick questions from my side. First one being, with respect to Darok. So, Darok production has remained stable. When should we see this trend move upwards?
See, Amar, that once the gas grid get connected, either in a bigger way means that is 180 kilometers line of IGGL to Mumbai gate to Gujarat. That will ensure the full connectivity to the grid. A limited connectivity to the grid could be established with the DNPL line, because it is having a patchwork of some 50 kilometers we have to done, that it has to be done. Now once that gets completed, we would get eased out to the extent of at least a 1 million standard cubic feet per day, comfortably. So these are linked to various the facilities and gas grid connections and all. We cannot predict the exact number. Once the DNPL line gets activated, we are sure that we should be able to ramp up at least about 40 million standard cubic feet per day. From 25, 23 or 24, we will be able to reach up to 40.
Sure. Thanks. And second question with respect to Cambay, any update on enhancing the production to 500 barrels of oil per day?
Yeah, we are working on it at the moment. We have submitted the proposal to the partners, and once that gets approved, and we will be lining up 3 wells on the artificial lift, that our people are confident that should increase the production from the field up to 500 barrels.
Sure. And just to chip in, with respect to BAT, for how many days did one well contribute in the third quarter? And secondly, on the same, the second well, when do we expect operations to begin?
One well was in a continuous operation for the entire 91 days. There is no issue on it. And the second well, that's what we are looking at back at to commence it. So probably this quarter we may be end up with one well only.
Sorry, I did not catch it. When will the second well start operation?
The fourth quarter, we may end up with only one well, unless the job and operations are get quicker on it, but that would be only in the mid of March as such. So we can count that one well production will continue from PIT.
Okay, sure. So nothing from the second well in FY24 at least?
Yeah, that we believe in it, and the backer is working on it.
Okay, sure. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Parjatia from Honesty and Integrity Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for providing the opportunity. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, thanks. So, I think, you know, you mentioned about DNPL pipeline when it's ready, and I think you mentioned sometime around October it would be ready, if I'm not wrong. Then we will be able to increase our production from 0 to 40 million. So, is this 40 number, is because of constraint on the demand side or the pipeline capacity? Or the constraint on the production side?
There is no constraint on the production side. This is constrained on the pipeline as well as the demand side.
Okay. So basically, you think the pipeline we will not have rights to use the pipeline beyond that number?
Yeah, because there is a capacity limitations. You know, BNGRP will also have some issues there on to it that has to be addressed.
Okay, and if I'm not wrong, this will be ready by October, right? October 24.
That's what we believe in it, actually.
Okay, and IGGL pipeline that you spoke about, that would be ready by what time?
See, that is what the new line, Numbligar to Diliajan, that will be getting fully connected to the national grid by IGGL, would be expected to be on March 26.
March 26. Okay. So then, basically, then you are saying that with the full constraint on demand will be removed, and pipeline will, after commissioning of this pipeline, also we will have the pipeline capacity issue as such, because I'm sure there will be other production in Assam which will have right to use this pipeline. So will we be able to have full production given the pipeline constraint?
See, that's where they were looking at around 5 million standard cubic meters per day. Ours is going to be only 2. So the balance can get onto it. There should not be any problem. That is what is being projected, because this is at the end of the day, the country needs gas, and Oil India is one of the primary producer therein, and ONGC is also there. They are making this eastern grid should work faster. That's their endeavor, and they are working on that direction. So, Oil India is our major partner with us also. So, they will be able to help us. And in a sense, they will be having 45% of the revenue from this block. So, we will be able to ramp up to that level of 2 million. That's our endeavor also.
Okay. And the third pipeline that you mentioned in the presentation about GAIL Urja Ganga, so this is connecting which point to which point, if you can explain, and what is the expected completion timeline for this?
Urja Ganga is to be commissioned. It is up to Baruni to Guwahati. That should get completed by March, according to the plan.
March 24.
Yeah.
So this will this lead to some kind of relaxation on the? I mean, will it offer us opportunity to increase our sales? Or there is nothing to do with our.
What is happening is we are at Diliajan. So from Diliajan, this goes to Numbligar. From Numbligar, it goes to Guwahati. From Guwahati, it goes to Baruni. That gets connection completed. Now, there is a limitation of the DNPL line that cannot take more than 2 million standard cubic meters per day. So out of it, you'll have some share. So that's why we are, once that line is fully operational, at least we can ramp up to 40 million cubic feet of gas per day, and then the whole connectivity has come, we can ramp it to just double. It is about 70 million.
Got it. And finally, to understand this whole issue, you know, so finally the IGGL pipeline is going to be a thing which will remove all the constraint on the sales. So initially it was said that it will be completed by March 25. Now you're saying that it's March 26. So
it's not directly operated by us. Directly, we have no connection to that.
Right.
We have been talking to the people of the authority, and then we get to have some dates actually.
Okay. Got it. No, but what I was trying to understand is, based on your understanding, is it March 26 is also a realistic timeline, or do you think that there are some forest clearances issues or something that is holding up and delaying the pipeline?
I don't think that is, I firmly believe March 26 the entire connectivity of the Eastern Grid could get established.
Okay. Got it. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank
you very much. The next question is from the line of Sanjeev Damani from SKD Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Namaskar, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Sir, actually, I want to understand certain things about our BAT operations update that I am watching right now on my screen, your presentation. So it is the first volume that we have sold. I want to confirm from you. From this particular site, the first consignment has been sold of the crude. Is it correct, sir?
Yeah. So what is happening is, whatever the crude we produced, it has been sent to floating storage offshore.
Okay.
It gets stored there, and the storage of oil reached to a size of 400,000 barrel. Then we will be inviting the pitch from the various refineries.
Okay.
And based on the auction results, then we will be making an offloading. They will bring their own tanker, then we will offload.
Okay.
In this case, in BIT field, first time, we have reached to a parcel size of more than 400,000 barrels, and we offloaded the first oil to IOC.
Right, sir. So, no, by this time, how much stock we have already built up, can I know, if it is not otherwise?
No, I think as we speak, we will be having 430,000 barrels has already been sold. Now, we will be having stock about some 35,000 barrels.
35,000, that's all. Am I right, sir? 35,000, you say,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 35,000 barrel in stock, and we are continuously on production about 800 plus barrels.
Yes. You told us, sir. And regarding the gas also, have we sold some gas from these fields?
The gas we have been continuously selling for the last 1.5 years.
Okay.
Currently, we are selling about 3.5 million MMSCF per day to GSPC.
It goes to GSPC, and the price which is mentioned being realized is 19.98 MMBTU. Am I right, sir?
Yeah, that's right. That is the price is to the oil price as such. The oil price is more, you get more, and
got it. But I think, I mean, compared to other sites, we are getting good realization here. So that is something very good, sir. I mean, there is no ban by the government that you can't sell at X price or Y price. There is no ceiling, sir, as such for gas prices.
You are right, Asis. There is a domestic market obligation. Pre-marketing rights have been given to the private players. So that works well.
Acha. So, sir, are we also subject to windfall tax on petroleum or no?
No, we are not, because we have not reached the threshold limit of 1 million barrel of oil.
Okay, that's also very fine, sir. So one more thing I just want to confirm, that you are storing all these collected oils in the offshore area only. So again, if some cyclone comes, it may get damaged. Can it not be transmitted to the onshore to have safety of our storage?
So this is actually a facility. It is a Aframax tanker that is called a floating storage offshore. In any emergency, you can disconnect and move to a safer location.
Okay.
There is no question of any damage will occur.
Okay. So it is like a ship. You know, the storages are on the floating ship, as you rightly said. I could not understand. Thank you very much for the understanding. Sir, Now, sir, in other fields where we are trying, pallet.
Sorry to interrupt, Sanjay.
Thank
can
you.
You
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we will request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashwin Reddy from Samatva. Sorry, the participant got disconnected. The next question is from the line of Ashwin Reddy from Samatva Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. So first question is on the Northeast block. So regarding the work that has been outlined for Kathang, so is there any limit or constraint on the offtake from Kathang given that a good number of wells have been planned to drill, have been planned to drill? Is there any constraint on the offtake in the next 1-2 years?
No, there is no offtake limit. The facility can handle up to 5,000 barrels, and we will not be able to reach that level even by drilling 15 wells. It will be lesser than 2,000 barrels. There should not be any limitation.
Okay. So in terms of the infrastructure, and unlike in gas and rock, there is no constraint. There is no constraint in Kathang in terms of what it can do.
I couldn't get the question actually. Can you repeat?
So I'm saying in terms of, so unlike in Didrock for gas, there is no constraint on the offtake for whatever you can drill and you can bring out in Kathang.
Yeah, because there is one Kunjai line is there. Once it's connected, even Arunachal Pradesh gas production with Oil India also having a line in a manner that connected to the national grid. So there should not be any problem of monetizing the gas produced from Arunachal Pradesh.
Okay. And what are the timelines that you expect for Kathang to scale up in the next, is it like 1 year or how do you think about Kathang?
So we are planning to drill the development well starting from the first quarter of the next financial year. Then we are embarking on a continuous drilling program. We are not stopping it. After drilling 6 wells, we have a small pause for a few days to review the data. And then further drilling will continue there on board, at least to complete minimum of 15 wells there on development wells to the upper region. And meanwhile, we are getting one more rig, which can drill to the lower region, formation of lower region and Tipam and Barai formations. So the deeper well results, exploratory well, is successful. Then we will continue to drill 2 more exploratory wells. And all the exploratory wells in onshore can be put on as a development well. So we start producing from these exploratory wells also. So this we expected about 2 continuous financial years, 24-25 and 25-26.
Okay. Okay, got it, got it. And my second question is on Didrock. Okay, so for these quarters and from now on, should we assume the minimum that you'll do is 23 MMSCFD, or is there a chance to go back to what you used to do before, like 35 was the norm, right? Something, so then again there's optic issues, etc. So as you speak, has there been any ramp up from the level to 2024, or are you continuing at 2024?
Ashwin, I'm ready with the production. The demand is not in my hands because it is basically the
Chandrad
and the many public sector undertaking, BCPL and NRL, and all should be continuously operating. This is the case that I will continue. This is too difficult for me to predict. This is the volume at this stage.
Got it. Okay. Okay, fair enough. And regarding DAT, so regarding the D1 well, is there a chance that we may miss the, we can miss the weather window for this time? Or is that out of scope, or is that a possibility as well in terms of the data being done?
we are looking into the, all the interventions without the rig. If any rig intervention is required, it could be only on the after the monsoon. But we will get to know only the backer completes the job, not before that.
So at least whether the rig is required or not will be confirmed, say, by March. Is that a fair assumption?
So they will have to carry out the job, you know. Once they come out the results and what it comes out and how do they feel it, and then again they have to go back to the study on it. And some resolutions we expect on this. And if everything goes worse only, we have to go for the drilling. That is the last drilling rig. That is the last option.
Okay. Got it. All right. Thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Darshika Khemka from Aries Fine Corp. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is that could you help us with the breakdown of the revenue by BAT and their office?
Okay.
I'm sorry, this question is a repetition.
So the revenue from BAT and the DIRAF, right? I'll give you the number. See, the DIRAF number is BAT, we have got the total revenue of 70, total revenue 34 crores. The current
quarter. Could you repeat that number? I'm sorry.
34 crores.
Okay.
And the DIRAF, Iraq is about 51 crores.
All right. And how about the balance number?
These are the net revenue I have given to you because some adjustments would have been there to the extent of profit oil and other things. The government share.
Cool. All right. Yeah, that was my question. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Jayesh Gandhi from Harshad Gandhi Security Private Limited. Please go ahead.
If I heard you correct, you said that production from D2L in BAT is currently 800 barrels per day. And your inventory is closer to 35,000 barrels. If I counted for the current quarter, then we should not be able to sell more than, say, 110,000 or 120,000 barrels in that case. Is my understanding correct?
So your understanding is correct. That is why we are working on the D1 well, to put it on production quickly.
Got it. So last quarter, the volume which we have done is 430,692 barrels. That means we had a lot of inventory which was already there. Am I understanding it correct?
Yeah. This is since beginning, whatever the production that was in.
Okay. That's all from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Manoj Jethwa from KSA Shares and Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and a very good set of Q3 numbers. My couple of question is there regarding the D1 well. We have given a contract to Baker and Hughes. You have mentioned in the presentation that currently they are going to start the work, seismic studies and all that, everything. So what is the probability of the success of, the problems which are there in the D1 could be sorted out? And is there any time frame for that, sir?
Yeah, Mr. Manoj, if I know the probability of success of an exploratory well, I could have told you that this is the probability of success which you're working on it. This is the well which was producing before the cyclone, and after the cyclone it stopped producing. So it is a surprise to all of us. And now we have looked at all the possible ways and means why it stopped producing. So we looked at now there is a blockage in the reservoir. That is what they are going to address it. I cannot assume any probability or numbers which you can, whatever the numbers which I can assume, you can also assume it. So we will be waiting for this backers' effort and let us see after that what they come out with.
Okay, thank you. And my another one question is there regarding the oil reserves which we are holding right now. So what could be the probable sales value which we can assume it in the Q4, sir?
Oil reserves. I mean, you are talking about our product which is in stock at the moment?
The 35,000 barrels of oil we are holding right now, sir. Am I right, sir?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So what could be the probable sales value it could fetch once we sell that, sir?
See, that would be the expected price in the month of March, right? End of the March, that mark-to-market would be the price. If the Brent is $80, it will be taken as $80. If it is Brent is $75, it will be taken as $75.
Okay. Thank you. Understood, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side, sir.
Thanks, Manu.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of M.N. Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for sharing the presentation with a lot more details than before. We appreciate it. Is it possible to make the clarity with respect to when you say production, is it a gross or net, or what is the quantum that we get for taking the participative interest in the account? What comes to HOAC? This part becomes a little bit difficult, sir. Can you make the presentation on this aspect a little better, sir?
Okay, normally we should indicate that whatever the value is indicated is gross production, and you can see the net production, right?
Because some locations it is given as a gross, some locations it's a production. So it is always confusing, sir.
Yeah, I think you are right as such, and we will update ourselves on the next results.
Yeah. Sir, the next question that I have on that one is related to Darak. On the Darak, after laying the pipeline, because you will have to still complete this 20 kilometers additional line, how much bigger market we will get, sir?
How much?
Can we go back to how much more gas we will be able to sell?
We have in the
getting connection to the national grid. That's what I'm asking.
So, you're asking the question after connecting to the national grid, right?
No, sir. Right now there is a pipeline that we are laying, right? With the current pipeline that we have and the consumers we have, we can maximum go up to 30 SCM, FD, sir. Correct?
We can go up to 1.2 million if BNPL line gets connected, 1.2 million cubic meters per day. So we were also initially producing about 1 million cubic meters earlier. And now the price difference has come. That is why the fall, we are more or less like a fallback. Once the oil gas gets sold and the ONGC gas is sold at a lower price, then the difference comes to our gas.
Okay. So by completing this pipeline, we are not going to be able to sell anything more than what currently we are selling. Is this my understanding right, sir?
Yes. No, our line is getting to augment our line to make it 2 million cubic meters. It's more or less like connecting to the national grid as such.
Okay. Kumar,
sir, can you please rejoin the queue for your further questions?
This is connected to the same question, madam.
Okay.
Sir, if that is the case, why we should start the drilling the two development wells and increase the capacity to 70 MMSCFMD?
We are drilling the wells actually by next year, next financial year. I mean, 25, the drilling will take about, say, three to four months. And that's why we plan in such a way, if the lines are getting connected, demand picks up, we should be able to ready to get into the market. That's the reason we are planning for two development wells to ramp up to 70 million cubic feet per day.
So that means this pipeline connection completion and the drilling of it, everything has to coincide with the national grid connection. Is this my understanding right, sir?
Right, as it, because we are looking at demand pickup to keep in such a way that our capital invested is earning revenue on it. So that's why there is a delay in drilling. If there is a connectivity to the national grid, we would have completed the drilling by this time.
Thank you. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Manan Patel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So first question is on BAT. So you mentioned the production is around 3.5 MMSCFD and 800 barrels of oil. So is that assumption right that the Q4 revenue from D2 well will be lower compared to D3? And on the same, like, we have optioned a lot more gas than we are producing. So what kind of penalties would we have to pay if we don't fulfill our commitment of the auction?
And if this is being an issue towards the reservoir, then there shouldn't be any penalty on it.
Okay. So the D2 production right now is lower than the Q3, so the revenues will fall further.
Yeah, this is somewhere around the range of 4 to 3.5. So we are taking 3.5 as a basis for continuing for this quarter.
Understood. On the Cambay, so you have mentioned around 300 barrels oil through artificial lift, and so by what time can we expect that to come on production? And last question on Umatra, so is that a substantial which will move a substantial production which will move needle for us, or is that just a small well?
See, actually that artificial lift of three wells in Balaji's land, but our estimates are there. With artificial lift, we should be able to increase to another 300 barrels. That's what has been stated in this report. So we are looking for the partner's approval there. Once it comes on it, we will be trying to get on to the mode, because it is, the duration of the work is very short. It's not taking more than 10 days for each well. So we should be able to ramp up faster. And the next question of yours is related to Umatara, right?
Yeah.
Umatara is a well drilled by Oil India, and we are a partner therein with only 10%. IOCL is the operator for the block. I'm sorry, IOCL is the operator, and we have only 10% stake in the block. They have already mobilized, they are ready to mobilize the rig, and by April they will be spudding the well.
So the question is, sir, is it substantial or it will be small?
Yeah, actually, this is a discovered small field itself. There cannot be anything called as a substantial out from there. The results are about 2 million barrels.
Understood.
So once we build the well, we'll know the potential much better.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot, and wish you all.
Thanks, Ms. Manu.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Vivek Joshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on a steady set of numbers. I have two questions. One is that given the production, if it remains the same, do we expect a similar results, or there are certain one-offs like you had last year on expense adjustments which you do at the end of the year, like something which was not there? That is my first question. And second, in the balance sheet, in the comprehensive income, there is an item not classified as profits for about 41 crores for the 9 months. Can you just tell me what does this relate to?
Okay, Kunkel, can you look at what is the 41 crores? Because Mr. Vivek, the number relates to that based on the three. One, we should have a contingency of production, and second thing is about the price. Subject to this, we will be maintaining the same numbers. We don't expect any adversity.
Okay.
The starting crore, what is the starting crore? Can you show me the number? This is it.
Yeah, it's in that in the line item 8 on the consolidated other comprehensive income. The first line items, items that will not be classified as profit or loss, and that's about 41 crores for the 9 months.
Okay. Yeah.
4193.
Yeah. Okay, this is actually, sorry, that will not happen this year. This is related to the cost recovery limit on the Kirsten block. And that issue gets sorted out. And by which only we have got the extension, but being an on-time aberration, that has been sorted out at 12.21 crores, but we don't expect anything like that to happen in there.
Not the loss. I'm asking the profit number, why is it happening? Like, what is the 4193 that we are showing as profit, but which you are saying is actually not profit? The line item above that, 4193.
4193. Which is the line number, can you just tell me?
Yeah. 8A. On the
exceptional item one, right? That is 12 million. That is what in the 12.
No. In the consolidated, in the consolidated this thing.
Yeah.
Item number 8, sub-item number A. For the quarter, it is 1879, and for the 9 months, it's 4193. Oh, sorry. I got it wrong. My bad. I'm sorry. My mistake. Sorry. Okay.
I couldn't see the
numbers. No, I'm sorry. I got the wrong numbers. My bad. Thanks for your reply.
Thanks, Vivek.
Okay.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Nirbhay Mahawar from N Square. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Just wanted to know what would be the net debt number post the oil sale or something?
At consolidated level, our net debt number would be as on date about 150 crores.
150 crores. And what would be our 9 month capex, sir?
Our capex, which we land up, is about 1,000 crores over a period of 3 years.
No, for the first 9 months in FY24.
We don't have much capital outlay at the moment.
So, sir, at a company level, would it be fair to assume that our medium-term growth plans have now moved beyond BAT or D1, I would say, D1 production coming? Would it be fair to assume that? I mean, our dependence on BAT has reduced now for medium-term growth plans.
We have a plan for at least 3 years. We have lined up the program in such a way that our net production should move from at least 1 million barrel of oil equivalent to 1.5 by next year, and it should go to 3 million by 2026 actually. That is what we are planning for it.
3 million barrel of
Oil equivalent
annual production.
Yeah,
that's
what we wanted to ramp up, and we wanted to, that is on our base case assets. The minimum, actually, when you look at a P90 case, that is the level we are looking at.
This is 3 million gross or net, sir?
Net to us. Actually, so it is net production B90. We have a plan in such a name, which is our 1,000 crore work program, which we are lining it up. We should be ramped up in such a manner, we should reach at least minimum of 3 million barrel of oil equivalent.
Yeah, that would be around 8,000 barrel of net daily production, if I'm 7,500 to 8,000.
We are expecting, because that is a P90 case, if you look at a P50 case, our target is to reach 10,000 barrel of oil equivalent net.
That's great. And how much we are factoring BAT in this, sir? Would it be able to quantify? Or
I can quantify that. There is no problem on it. We are expecting at least some 3,000 barrel of oil from the BAT plant.
At least 3,000 barrel net. Okay. Yeah, this is useful. Thank you. Thank you. Wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I thank you for the opportunity. So we had an FSO and an MOU. Could you share what is the revenue for 9 months and for the quarter for the same? And how do we see steady state revenues from FSO and MOPU going ahead?
Steady revenue, we cannot say that because what is happening is it's linked to the many repairs and maintenance. We believe that we are trying to carry out all the repairs. In between, there may be if you change the pipeline and others, hose, underbuy hose and other things, it will take some time. So what we can look at is, it is giving a run rate of about more than about 50 crores net revenue on this quarter. And the previous quarter, it was just 17 crores. And year to date, it is about 120 crores.
Okay.
Thank you very much. The next follow-up question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Laser Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir, what is the program for next year's gas contract for BAT? Is there any movement on the same or is it automatically go for a new bid?
The gas is, what is your question actually, Desi?
For the BAT, we had a gas contract for this March of 24. After that, is that process started or how?
We will let you know actually because this contract is valid up to 31st March. We will be asking, we will be starting the process by first or second week of March.
Okay, and earlier we had used to have a problem on BAT for a high pressure unit, where I think it was not able to take much higher volume of oil. Now, when you said in your presentation that everything on the top side has been done, so is that problem solved and now will it be able to take a higher load of 3,000 barrels a day if whenever we reach that output?
Yes, we should be able to do.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah,
hi, my question is, what was the production from B1 before the cyclone?
I think it was about 1,200 barrels per day.
Okay, that's all.
And 6 million cubic feet up there.
Okay, so if it comes back normally, maybe we can expect 1,200 or higher?
Yeah, I don't want to presuppose something to you at this stage. Let us wait for the backer results.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ravi Nagara, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question on D1 where, why it has taken so much time that Baker and Hughes is conducting in February because monsoon is nearing. If they conducted the survey in December, then you have enough time to do the repair work.
I see, Mr. Ravi, that it doesn't affect monsoon, doesn't affect this operation. This is going to be on the platform.
Okay, so when do you expect that that report and when do you see D1 oil producing oil?
So they I told you at this that Baker has completed the studies. After the studies, they are mobilizing their equipment and the chemicals and personnel. And that is we expected before the end of this month. Once they go to the platform, it will take about another 7-8 days. We'll get to know the results after that. Whether we need to do further pumping of chemicals and wait for some days, or the first instant itself, they get a good results. We do not predict
it. Okay, so the problem is the wax deposited. Okay, sir?
So we have a feeling there is an asphaltin and wax deposition. This needs to be cleaned up.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Mehul Panjwani from 40 Cent. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you so much for the opportunity. I have one very basic question because I am new to our company. How do the MUPU contribute to revenue? Because, you know, we are using it for our oil offtake, right?
This is actually a... can you repeat, Mr. Michael, again, your question?
Yeah. So I am trying to understand very basic thing that how do the FSO and the MOPU, which are basically used by us, how do they contribute to revenue?
Yeah, right. See, MOPU is actually like a process facility, right? When the oil produced from the well comes to the MOPU, there the segregate is oil, gas, and water. The three things come out of the well, which gets segregated. And that is being pumped because there is no storage facilities at the MOPU. Then it is sent through an export pipeline to the FSO. The FSO is a storage facility where the crude comes there and gets stabilized. Once it reaches to your parcel site, then an offtake is undertaken. This is the process. FSO is a storage unit. MOPU is a processing unit.
Right, sir, but I'm just trying to understand because maybe pardon my ignorance, how do these contribute to revenue? Because we get revenue only when we sell oil, right?
What happens, BAT is a block. That is a field, right? Any field, you need these facilities, right? These facilities are to be hired from the third party. In all the companies, you look at these facilities are hired from the third party. In our case, this is our own facilities, which is being charged to the field. That is where the revenue is earned. This through a separate subsidiaries. This can be used for some other companies also. If tomorrow BAT is not producing or not BAT is to be shut down after 7-8 years, then it can be used elsewhere.
Right, sir. Thank you so much. One follow-up question. So when did we acquire this FSO and MOPU?
It has been 2019 and 2020, I suppose.
Okay. And, sir, also, is it a fair assumption that some of the blocks, we don't have 100% entitlement, we have only maybe 35, 40, whatever, depending on the block which we are talking about. So we also get 100% revenue for this from these two, FSO and MOPU.
See, what happened, this according to participating in the block, somebody would be called as an operator, he would be holding certain percentage, non-operators would be holding certain percentage. It varies. That is where the field revenue is shared. This is more or less that what you are talking about, MOPU and FSO is like a service. It is like an equipment you give it on rental.
Right.
If you own the equipment 100%, that entire revenue of the rental comes to you.
Right, sir. Okay. Thank you so much for the clarification.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Shivam Shah from Smart Sync. Please go ahead. Shivam Shah. The participant is not audible. Got disconnected. The next question is from the line of Ashwin Reddy from Samatva Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the follow-up. So, so my question is regarding BAT. If I just see a simple ratio of gas to oil, say, from Q1 of FY24 to Q3 of FY24,
the proportion of gas is lower versus oil is a simple thing what it will take. Is this any cause for concern in terms of the reservoir itself or the water specifically can be? The reason I'm asking is because in the past concourse, we've been told that if there is more gas, it means that the well can come longer and it's better than. So the proportion of gas is using versus oil. Is this a cause for concern in terms of the reservoir?
See, this is a gas cap well, so initial production of the gas would be more. Then over the period, the gas will get reduced and the oil will come up. So that's why you would have seen the initial oil production from this well was 400 barrels, then it is went up to, say now 800 barrels. The gas is about 8 to 9 million cubic feet of gas. It's getting reduced now. This is the typical phenomenon expected from this well.
Okay, got it. That's a really good to know. And second question is on the D1 well. If you have seen the previous presentation, it was outlined as a mechanical issue was what was told as the issue in D1. But this time, it has been told as a reservoir issue. Has there been any change in terms of our understanding? Our understanding was it is more to do with the evacuation, that mechanical material that the issue was. But right now, is there a lack of clarity on the reservoir itself or what is the reason? I'm just saying, what I want to understand is, has there been a change in our understanding about the issue? That's all. Or is it the same as before?
Mr. Ashwin, please. There is a well which was producing well, got shut in. Now it's not producing well. Right. So the first priority is to find out, is there any blockage? Right? You start with your flow line. Then you go with your tubing and you clean up one by one, then you get to know, then there is a reservoir. So we have initially looked at it as more of a mechanical issue because it is there and abrupt one happened. Now the mechanical issue is getting resolved because we have put the pumps and chemicals and other things. We have now cleaned it up. Now we have come back to the reservoir issue. I mean in the sense of blockage in the reservoir, which is now being addressed by the backup. Right.
Okay, so,
on this?
Okay, but even now it is a mechanical issue within inside the reservoir. Is that right way to say it? Is it something which can work with chemicals that which can be called? It's nothing to do with the quality of the liquid.
Ashwin, I couldn't get your questions, but
I'm saying right now it has nothing to do with the well itself. It is more like a mechanical slash blockage issue in the reservoir. Is that the way to understand it?
Sir, it's not a mechanical issue. Mechanical issue is resolved. Now it is a blockage in the reservoir. That's why we need the backup to come out of the specialized chemicals to treat that or remove that. Right? Mechanical obstruction means that is on the flow line or on the tubing, which our people are done a lot of work on it and they clean it up to the best of their ability. Right? Now the backup will come. And they will try to address the issue on the blockage in the reservoir.
Okay, got it. All right, thank you so much for clarification.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thanks. While we continue to focus on activating the D1 well and increase the uptake of DROC, we will embark on drilling wells in Karsman, Western Region, and PY1 to develop these fields to its full potential to reduce the dependence on BAT and DROC. We will also increase our talent pool to meet our growth targets. We once again thank you all for joining us today. Thank you.
On behalf of the Hindustan Oil Exploration Company Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.